Women farmers are more visible than ever right now in ag. We're talking about a workshop series that's specifically for women in agriculture here on The Morning Show. In Wisconsin, roughly 14% of farms have a woman who is the primary operator. And this number may seem low to you, but it's about double what it was a couple decades ago. And it's on par with Minnesota and Iowa. Women of agriculture, we want to hear from you. What challenges do you face on your farm? How do you promote your business? What are your biggest areas of need? We're at 800-642-1234 to join this conversation. Jenny Vanderlyn is Associate Director and Coordinator of the Heart of the Farm Women in Agriculture Program at the Center for Dairy Profitability. Jenny, welcome to the Ideas Network. Hey, Jenny, are you there? And I think we're
Hey there, Jenny.
Sorry, that's okay.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
Yeah, so can you help us first understand what is Heart of the Farm, how it got started?
The Heart of the Farm is a UW-Madison Division of Extension program for Wisconsin women in agriculture. And we started this program in the early 2000s and wanted to have some kind of a venue and workshop series for the women, Wisconsin women in agriculture, so that they could get education on timely, pertinent topics that they were addressing and to have a little safe network that they could kind of come to.
Well, women have always been a part of agriculture, but are you seeing trends here? Are you seeing more women taking leading roles on their farms these days?
Oh, yeah. These days, quite a bit more. It used to be, I mean, women have always been a part of the farm and inside agriculture. It used to be a little bit more of a term would be farm wives, but more and more women are becoming a little bit more prominent in the workforce. It's kind of like their life. It's their lifestyle. So quite a few more women are coming up, and that might be through transition or spouses died and they've decided not to lose the farm and keep going with it. So those statistics would rise because of that.
And you're hosting this series of conferences across the state, which are really supposed to hone in and address farm women in Wisconsin. Can you give us a sense of what you're trying to convey?
Well, we're just, I mean, the workshops kind of give a, like I said a little earlier, a little safe venue for them to kind of come and network with other women, because the women on farms tend to be a little bit more socially isolated. They're kind of juggling a lot of different jobs on the farm, off the farm, raising their kids. And so it kind of gives them a day to get involved in some of the topics that are coming on socially, involved with other networking, with other women in the thing, learning a little bit from each other, knowing that they're not alone.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Owen joining us from Waiawiga. Hi, Owen.
Hi, good morning. So just to give you a little oversight on what's going on here, Lisa and I are employees on a larger farm here in Waiawiga. Right now she's in the calf barn. She takes care of calves and heifers here, and in the past she milks cows on other farms. And about 50% of the employees that work on this farm are women. But I definitely see there's some sharp contrast here between wages and, you know, for instance, Lisa's net earnings, and she doesn't have any wage garnishments or alimony or child support that she pays. Her net earnings as of the 1st of March were only $3,000 this year. And she works about 60 hours a week here on the farm, and that's another issue that she's faced. She can't just leave and go to classes and meetings because she's required to be here to take care of animals 24/7.
Owen, thank you for painting this picture for us. Jenny, what do you hear there? Lisa is in the calf barn and working a lot of hours.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's very typical of a lot of the women that we work with on the dairy farms and other farms too, is that it is hard to take off time, and it is hard with the wages and stuff. And we try to, at a conference just yesterday, we went through kind of taking that balance of your life and kind of trying to find time for you. And we hope that the Heart of the Farm program is a time and a venue and a activity that they can take to for themselves.
What about pay in agriculture? How is that going for women?
Well, I would say that it's a struggle just like with any other enterprise or workforce or something. I think that women do a lot of work with on the farm and aren't collecting wages because it's their lifestyle and it's what they're doing. I don't think if they are getting an hourly wage or they're working, I mean, they might be getting some of the same compensations as some of the other milk herd people, but if they're doing it as part of their family life, then they probably wouldn't be getting paid for it.
Jenny Vanderlyn is with us. She's Associate Director and Coordinator of the Heart of the Farm Women in Agriculture Program at the Center for Dairy Profitability. We'll be back in a minute to continue this conversation right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Wisconsin farm women here on the morning show. But before we get back to that, let's get an update on our spring membership drive that's going strong. Your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. In fact, it is the largest piece at what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions. And we'll be getting back to this conversation we're having about women in farming. First, I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Kallenbach, and we are encouraging you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as part of that encouragement, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Al and Cynthia Johnson. So your gift of $50 turns to $100. $100 turns to $200, and so on. So far, $225 raised toward that $4,000. Quite a bit of headroom for your gift.
Lots of headroom.
So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Such an honor to work on the Ideas Network. The Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from the morning show, and you also hear all of our counterparts here. You hear Garden Talk, Larry Mueller, Zora Pastor on Your Health, Says You, Away With Words, People's Pharmacy. I mean, the list goes on, and so many others that you've come to rely on.
The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio is known nationally as a network that gives listeners a window on the world like no other. And I'd say especially the morning show here with Kate Archer-Kent. Support this exciting mix of shows you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you get your 2019 WPR t-shirt, not only will you share your WPR pride with the world, you'll also enjoy the soft, stylish comfort of this quality cotton poly blend tee. Where will you show off your WPR t-shirt?
Oh gosh, I'd wear it everywhere.
To work, to the store, hanging out with friends.
Walking, when I go to the grocery store. I just want everybody to see it.
You can wear your WPR t-shirt so many places. Get yours now when you make a gift of $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Kallenbach, and your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, it will be matched dollar for dollar, and we really appreciate and count on your gift.
Now, you've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make a habit of donating. Good habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a habit you can be proud of. Get started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is absolutely in effect. We have a lot of match money here on the table. Almost all of it, $225, has been raised so far. There is room for your pledge to be matched right this very minute. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
That's right. We'll match up to $4,000 this hour, or our contributors will match that, our group of contributors, including Al and Cynthia Johnson. And you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for that 2019 WPR T-shirt. It's USA made, shows how WPR is everywhere you are, in home, at home, or in town, at home, in the great outdoors. So give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for that shirt.
Yeah, bottom line, that shirt can go everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. It'll look
even
great.
Even on a farm.
And, you know, even on a farm, as we're talking about. And what I love about WPR T-shirts is, like, that I can see them around town and you can go up to people and be like, hi, you listen to WPR.
Kindred spirit.
I know. And you find your kindred spirit. It's so much fun. So make that pledge right now. Get your pledge matched. Dollar for dollar. Your gift right now, so important. It's powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. More women today are in leadership positions in farming and in agriculture. We're talking about it here on the morning show. Women make up 31% of all farm operators here in the U.S. That's according to USDA data. And this has trended upward over the last decade. There's been also a surge of women starting their own small farms. How do you network with other farmers, especially other women? We're at 800-642-1234. Jenny Vanderlyn stays with us. She's Associate Director and Coordinator of the Heart of the Farm Women in Agriculture Program at the Center for Dairy Profitability. Let's go back to the phones now with Sylvia joining us from Clear Lake. Hi, Sylvia. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you? Thank you so much. I grew up in the Bronx of New York City, and after a full career in public relations, began farming at an age when many people retire. But I'm out there on the tractor, on the skid steer, tagging calves, castrating calves. And one of the things that I've done is try to pull in my previous career in public relations into farming, so that there I use my radio show, which is Deep Roots Radio. I use my blog. And I used farm visits to help make that connection between city and country, and also to put a voice to sustainable farmers all across the country. So that whole idea of isolation is real, and I think farmers need to be able to hear from one another.
Sylvia, thank you so much for those thoughts. And Jenny, how important is communication and reaching out for farmers?
Oh, I think it's very important, especially for the women farmers. I think that they need to know that they're being heard, they're being accepted, that they're not alone. If they are working on the farm and they have off-farm jobs, mostly because of the fact that they're trying to get insurance for their families, it's not something that other people who didn't grow up on a farm or who are doing farming understand. And so it's nice to have that kind of connection with other farm women within a venue that their counterparts are, I mean, their cohorts are right there with them.
Jenny, we've been hearing stories about the challenges farmers are currently facing in the market, from the declining milk prices to the effect of tariffs. What are you hearing from Wisconsin women in particular about their biggest challenges on the farm?
Well, it is a challenge right now. It's kind of in the fifth year of low milk prices, and so it is a big challenge. And it's very, very stressful, and people are upset. They're angry, but I think that they believe. Farming's not just a job. It's not just a paycheck. It's a lifestyle. And if you hang in there, farming is also secular, and we do believe that it is going to go up, and just hang in there and just kind of try to deal with the stress and talk to other women and talk to other families.
Let's go to Maggie now from Prairie Farm. Maggie, hi.
Hi. Good morning. So I co-own and operate a cut flower farm, and I live in an area where I happen to know a lot of other women farmers, some who are farming with a partner and some who are farming on their own, vegetables, flowers, goat milk, soap, just you name it.
Maggie, how has it been going for you?
It's been going well for us. We're expanding this year. Things are going really well. We're close enough that we can deliver to a couple of different metro areas, even though we're fairly rural, so that helps a lot. But yeah, we have a really good network of friends, both male and female, and that community aspect, of course, is very important, just to have people who you can talk to who understand what your life is like and the challenges of farming.
Well, Maggie, thank you so much for calling in and in giving us a glimpse inside a different aspect of farming. I mean, there are all sorts of farms, Jenny, and Maggie has a cut flower farm. And she also mentioned the importance of networks. What do you hear there?
In terms of networking, the farm women networking with other women?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very, very important. Most of our clients within the heart of the farm are dairy farmers. But we do have some of the small organic and sustainable farmers, and the networking in and of itself is very, very important, as I've been trying to kind of stress that other women talking to other women on what they're doing and stuff gives them a stronger sense that they're not alone, that they're understood, and that networking and learning from each other is important.
Jenny,
and they can do that through the heart of the farm.
Jenny, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Jenny Vanderlyn is Associate Director of the Heart of the Farm Women in Agriculture Program at the Center for Dairy Profitability. We're talking about a series of workshops in Randolph, Keele, Marshfield, and Merrill, all focused on women working on farm management skills and strategies. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about work to improve retention and graduation rates with the UW System President. But first, we're taking a look at our spring pledge drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Colin Back. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, and that's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2522, you make the morning show and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
We do have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,000 in effect for this hour. $2,400 left, so plenty of time for you to get in. You might have just begun listening. Maybe this is the time you pick up, turn on the radio in the morning. You're not too late to get in on this. It's
Mm-mm.
a great time to donate, in fact, because some current members, including our 9XM Leadership Circle members, Al and Cynthia Johnson, have pledged to double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm always uplifted by so many conversations we have mm-hmm. here on the Ideas Network, and a conversation about women and farming. We learn things, we get tips, we hear ideas, and then we also carry that to this broader community of listeners. We have a 500,000 listeners across Wisconsin, and that is beautiful, and that brings everyone together to have these great conversations. If that is something that you appreciate, these types of conversations, you can count on them from the morning show.
Well, and such a great example of the Wisconsin idea, where we reach out to the boundaries of the state, because we heard from Wyoega, we heard from Clear Lake, we heard from Prairie Farm. I grew up on a dairy farm up in Barron County, not far from Prairie Farm and Clear Lake, and that really was interesting to hear, because things have changed a lot since I grew up on that dairy farm, and having that that segment was really fun to listen to and makes you think a little bit. WPR mm-hmm. listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
this membership drive, we have an exciting drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org. Better yet, be automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now. It'll be matched dollar for dollar. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figured there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Kallenbach. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on each day. And that is why your support during this spring membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. It'll be matched right now, dollar for dollar, whatever amount you choose. That is the right amount.
And Kate, that dollar for dollar match is still in effect. We're halfway there, though. We've raised over $2,000, but the dollar for dollar match is in effect for up to $4,000 in this hour. Still room for your gift to be matched. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support for WPR will go twice as far.
My favorite thing, Dean, is getting all of these great listener comments.
Oh, yeah. And
David from Eau Claire says, WPR is my go-to source for news whenever I'm in the car. It's always the first thing I listen to going or coming from work, getting up to date. David, thank you so much for your pledge and being part of Wisconsin Public Radio. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. So we're talking retention in higher ed here on the morning show. Colleges straight across the country have seen their enrollments fall for six straight years, and that makes retention more important than ever as an issue. Some colleges are using big data to identify struggling students in danger of dropping out, and they're doing targeted intervention. I read about in California, some universities are trying gamification. Students earn prizes for learning about and taking advantage of campus resources like mental health services. UW System is rolling out an effort to address retention, and you have a line at any point in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. President Cross, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's always good to be here.
Let's talk retention. First of all, what is the current undergraduate retention rate for the UW system? Where does it stand?
The undergraduate retention rate varies by institution all the way from about almost 90% at some campuses, clearly in the 80s, down into the 30% at other campuses. So it varies depending on the campus. And obviously that also depends on the qualifications and preparation of the students that attend those campuses.
What do we know about that range, and why do we see such a range?
It's true all over the country. And a lot of those, there are just a multitude of issues that impact that. Obviously, not only preparation of the student, but also support for the student. And that's why we're redoubling our efforts. I've been in this business now for 42 years. I know, Kate, I really look a lot younger. I understand that. But it's frustrating. This achievement gap we have in higher education has plagued us for many, many years. And we've made some progress. I mean, our graduation rates are up. They're just not up enough. And the gap between underrepresented students and their white counterparts, underrepresented groups, is just too big. And we're making improvements. It's slow, but this has just plagued us for way too long. So we're working hard to change that and find ways to, in some cases, intervene, to be intrusive with students who need support, So the tools we're working with are tools that help us take the data that we have and analyze it and predict when a student needs to be supported in a different way.
And so you're talking about some advising software that you plan to expand to campuses around the UW system?
Yes, we have. We've acquired this package that helps us pull data that we already have, pull it together, and help us find early predictors. Too often it's one of the problems is too often it's too late when we find a student that needs help. There are early predictors. Did a student not use their meal plan for a period of time? Did they get a C in this class? And we know that students get a C in that class. 60% of the time, they have difficulty in the subsequent class. So there are little tools like that that help us intervene, make sure they get support.
How will this type of crunching data address the racial and socioeconomic gaps, disparities we're seeing in higher ed?
Well, Georgia State has been using this for several years, and they have totally eliminated their achievement gap between underrepresented groups and their counterparts. In fact, the graduation rate for African-American students at Georgia State is actually 1% higher than their counterparts, just by intervention and using effective support systems. So we're excited. Cal State just started implementing this. Others are working at this. This is exciting to me. It's been a frustrating thing for me for many, many years, and so I'm excited about it.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Peter joining us from Madison. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Doing well. What's on your mind about the achievement gap?
Well, see, there's a number of things. I have a background in adult education and instructional design, and I've identified a few different things that I have struggled with myself, and that's preparedness leaving high school, and that's because of some of the standardized testing and Common Core learning practices. And I think, unfortunately, you know, an 18-year-old entering college, they don't have the ability to generate their own learning objectives and, you know, learning goals, so they don't know how to prioritize tasks when they get to a higher education, like a four-year institution. So they struggle with work-life balance. They struggle with their friend network. They struggle with how to start. And I think that sometimes we overlook that.
Peter, thanks for the call. President Cross, what about those practical life skills?
I think Peter's is exactly right, and that's what this wraparound support system, holistic advising, intrusive advice, we call it 360 advising in our strategic framework, that's what it's about. It isn't just about advising regarding academic issues or scheduling. As Peter was alluding to, there are other issues, and several of those involve just the practical side of preparing and studying. And as Peter noted, it's actually even more difficult for non-traditional students, those students that are 25 and older going back. They have different problems, and engaging them in different ways is important.
Well, populations of students with low retention are sometimes those first-generation students as well, and they need more of a support system you call wraparound system. But with the budget cuts over the last few years, some campuses have made cuts to academic staff, to advisors, and those would be the essential systems that would perhaps wrap around these students. Are you hoping to reverse that trend?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. During budget cuts, we often do everything we can to preserve the activities that support directly the classroom. And those activities surrounding the classroom that add to and support students in this process often are cut first. And those have to be restored. And the investment we make in doing that, as all research shows, if you do it well, you get a significant return on that investment.
Well, let's turn to the governor's budget here. Under the plan, Governor Evers has proposed the tuition freeze, which has been going on since 2013, would continue. What is your reaction to that?
Well, we applaud his budget proposal. We're enthusiastic about that. I think it's very similar to ours. We have shared priorities. The legislature has shared priorities. We all want to improve the talent pipeline. With the demographics reducing the number of students that will be coming out of high schools, We have to do a better job of getting more of them into and through and the educational pipeline and into the talent pipeline. And doing so, we hope to improve lives and obviously offer our graduates higher wages as a result of their education, et cetera. So those shared priorities are driving points.
But with a tuition freeze, that is also a freeze in funding. How do you make up for that gap as you see costs go up with inflation?
Well, both our proposal, which did not ask for a tuition increase, our budget proposal, the governor's proposal does not. There's a real strong effort to make higher education accessible and affordable. Of course, those go together. But we're seeking resources, obviously, in order to maintain quality. You can't sustain a tuition freeze forever, but if the government, if the state decides to support us as we are seeking, that'll go a long ways to help cover that.
Let's go to John in Appleton now. John, hi.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for all your work. Sure. I was wondering if the guest could comment on this idea about getting at the K-12 product, so to speak, that that school districts produce that eventually get on to college. Does the guest believe that if we change the calendar to more of a year-round one, to reduce the summer learning loss and summer decrease in activity, that we'd have a higher product coming into colleges?
John, thanks for the call. You know, how can we structure learning so we don't have those gaps, especially during the summer months?
Well, that's a really good question, John, and there's research all over the place that in some cases validates that, and others it doesn't. We are not in a position to put blame on anyone. Our job is to work more closely with K-12, and we produce vast majority of the teachers in the K-12 system, and our challenge is to do as good a job as we can preparing them. Unfortunately, the numbers enrolling in teacher education are in decline, and part of what we're trying to do is stimulate that interest, because a teaching career is just a phenomenal career. And in doing so, hopefully we will better prepare high school teachers and K-12 teachers in total for the challenges they face in that effort, help prepare students. We're also doing a number of things to partner with K-12 schools around the state so that they better understand what we expect, let's say, in math. That's typically the biggest problem, John. How do we prepare them so they understand our expectations before they actually leave the high school?
Let's segue here, talk infrastructure. Governor Evers has proposed to spend $2.5 billion on building projects, almost half of which are on your campuses. What is your take on these projects? Are they necessary? And is this actually feasible, what Governor Evers is proposing?
Well, obviously the university has a vast majority of the physical plant of the state, so our facilities dominate all the buildings in the state, and we have the largest percentage of them. So many of them are between, 50 and 60, almost 70 years old. So that makes it difficult to maintain them. And our budget request, we asked for $1.9 billion, which is a lot of money. We know that. $1.8 of it was to repair, replace, or renovate the facilities we have because they're so old, and now it's getting more costly to maintain them. In some cases, we have safety issues, roof leaks, etc. I could go into some pretty humorous examples, and you recently had some frozen pipes here in this facility, so you understand what I'm talking about. Yes, I think it is feasible, and we're receiving a lot of positive comments both in both sides of the aisle in the legislature. So we're excited about it. We share this priority. We have to provide facilities that are safe and, of course, effective for modern technology in the classroom.
President Cross, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Kate.
Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You hear him on the morning show on the Ideas Network. Just ahead, we're going to talk trilobites, mastodons, and get an up-close look at Wisconsin's state fossil. Stay with us for Wisconsin Weekend. But first, let's check in on the progress of our spring membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with Dean Colin Back. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions with the newsmakers, and we rely on you to keep these programs going strong.
Well, listener support's the largest source of funding for WPR programs. We say it a lot, but it's really important to understand that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it is so cool that we've just met. We have smashed through our dollar-for-dollar match. That is so awesome. And I want to thank 9XM Leadership Circle members Al and Cynthia Johnson for that fabulous momentum. And that momentum doesn't stop now. Take advantage of this moment on a Friday. It's been on your to-do list. Do it right now. Support Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And while we reach that dollar-for-dollar match, we are still three away from our goal of 30 calls this hour, so you can still get in and help us with that. In that last segment, we learned about the UW system's efforts to retain undergraduate students, and we had the president of the University of Wisconsin system on. We get the leaders of government and education on here and give you access to them. Now, Kate asked questions on your behalf, but you even get a chance to call in yourself often on these programs and talk to these people. You know, maybe you're sitting at home in your pajamas even and doing that. But these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
You always have a line here. You always have a seat at the table. And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you listen to every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Enjoy that 2019 USA-made WPR t-shirt. It's a design of Wisconsin landscapes, where you might listen to Wisconsin Public Radio on a soft maroon t-shirt. Show off your WPR pride wherever you go. Ask for your shirt when you make your gift of $10 or more per month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Colin Back, and it's your support during this spring membership drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at this minute, that is the right amount.
Checking in on our goal, we're looking for three more calls to reach our goal of 30 for this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, WPR is listener supported, and that means that fund drives like these are really critical for us. It's a critical time to hear from you. And if you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd especially like to hear from you right now.
Well, and any amount you give makes an important difference, and giving just takes a few minutes of your time. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make that contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. And when you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
We have two pledges to go still to make our goal this hour. Two pledges, 2 minutes. We can stay on track here as we make these hourly goals. They're super important. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR, so very important as we stay on track here.
We talked about that $10 a month level. At that level, you can both support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2019 WPR t-shirt. It's USA made and shows WPR is everywhere you are, in home, at town, in the great outdoors. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your t-shirt.
Just want to give a quick shout out to Lori from Kenosha. Says, listening to amazing programs every morning. Thank you so much, Lori. Pledge now, WPR.org, and thank you so much for your support.